Now hold still before you sow your seed. I got something to teach you. Don't sow nothing right now. I know I had to stop because I know you're coming. Get your Bible a minute. And you might want to make note of this. You can sit down because this is a historical what I'm about to tell you. I think I've been operating in the office of an apostle a long time, didn't know what I was doing. And then the Lord substantiated it, all right? Now, apostle is a pioneer. An apostle is a pioneer. He set forth things from heaven to earth. That's his assignment, even for the other ministry gifts. The prophet was in charge in the Old Testament, but then the apostle took charge in the New Testament. The apostle deal with now. You're always dealing with now, something happening right now. It's a manifestation from heaven right now. So to train you, whenever order change, the flow change. Okay, I want you to remember that, whenever order change. Now let's look at divine order. Divine order, in other words, orders from headquarters, orders from God, all right, you got it? And if it change, it changed the whole plan. It cannot produce what it need to produce. All right? You never know how God is working with something. In other words, you never know he's you never know the total thing. You know some of it. He leads you and he guides you, but you never know everything God's doing. If not, he wouldn't be God. So I want to read this prophecy to you because I have to make some changes on the sowing. The changes I have to make is I don't know how I got where I am now. Now, you need to write this clause down. I didn't come to get money from you. I come to get money to you. Now, in this apostolic order, man, God be changing stuff. You know, so, well, God, they're doing fine. No, he's adamant about it. The money cometh revelation was for the body of Christ to get free fast. But she had become sluggish. A lot of people don't understand the sowing, sowing spontaneously or sowing by divine inspiration. They don't understand levels. They're not fully listening to changing from one degree to another degree in level. You can't talk to the body of Christ a whole lot about the breakthrough seed. I think when Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offering, it broke something. And so, you know, you have men sometimes put $20,000 up here. You don't know it. One point, $10,000, $15,000, $5,000 up here. So it's not the idea that people are not sowing breakthrough seed. I'll tell you what the Lord is leading me to do. We want to free the body of Christ up. The body of Christ is so fearful about money. And, you know, I came in like a hurricane because the Lord had given me that message. And many have gotten blessed, many houses paid off, many people out of debt, et cetera. But it's too many lagging back because they don't know what this is. Okay. So I want to refresh you. I think it's good to start it with my class. I'm going to teach you after I finish this, but the one on the internet around the world that can hear this. This prophecy was given me in 1994. Many of you have heard it, but the correction and direction, that's it, it's correction and direction that I'm going to make tonight, I think it will get you more swiftly to get in a place where you have no lack. How about y'all like that? No lack. No lack. Yeah. And just some small things sometimes that you have to do. Now, you don't expect everybody to understand it. I mean, you just can't please everybody. You just got to do what the Lord said. But I went to preach for a man in Nashville, Tennessee, and he said to me, I feel like God would lack, his wife said, I feel like God would lack us to minister to you. Talking about her and her husband who was in ministry together, the McRae's. Sometime he shows me give me a word in English. I don't know what it would mean to you, but I'll speak it out. Actually, it was two words. First one was accommodation, and the other one was and consolidation. Then Mrs. McRae spoke in tongues, and Mr. McRae, Pastor McRae, interpreted. Many things are about to happen, 1994 now. Many things are about to happen quickly, coming to pass very quickly in your ministry and in your life. And it's going to take wisdom, much wisdom, to sort it out. Watch what he said. And to cause it to flow the way I want it to flow. Cause it to flow the way I want it to flow. You heard that, Glad? All right. Because time is short. And it will not be many years that these things will be done. You listening? But it will quickly, it will be done in your ministry and in your life. Now, that means everybody connected, the same thing happened. See, you can't be connected to a flow and don't get your flow. All right? So he says, so listen unto my spirit. Follow my spirit closely, for I will give you blessing, and the enemy will come in to try to tear it apart. That doesn't happen many times. Try to direct it another way. That has happened many times, by the biggest. But don't allow it to be directed another way, but be directed by my spirit. And I have caused these things that look like they could never be to come to pass, and you'll be able to do everything that I call you to do, says the Lord. And then Ms. McRae spoke in tongue again, and here's the interpretation. Now, I've called you to a body of believers, but I also call you to my larger body. To my larger body. Say that twice. But there will not be conflicting calls. I will bring them together so that you will be able to accomplish, you will be able to consolidate things in such a way that you will be able to do both in harmony and a great blessing, says the Lord. So I want to be a blessing to you, all right? So I want you to listen, get your Bible. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 4. I want to show you something. And then I'm going to tell you, I don't know how something happened. I think it was happening. People were trying to get the money to me, but I'm going to try to show you something, what the divine plan was, so we can get the flow back into the flow that God wanted to be in. And it take an apostolic anointing to do this. Regularly, you wouldn't do this, but I can do it because I've been praying about it, and the Lord seemed to. Notice in verse 34 of the fourth chapter, the first statement said, neither was there any among them that lacked. Now, that brings it right to the psalm where he says they brought them out with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person among them, and you know it means there was not one broke person among them. You know, church sick, broke, and faking it. But in the school, I want you to come out to a reality of what God really can do. I know it personally. I've had encounters and experience with God. I've seen what he do with finance. I've seen what he do with debt. I've seen many ways or many packages or many facets he can send favor into your life. And so I know it's a reality, it's a revelation, but as well as a reality to me. And I want to see more believers enjoying this, watch what I say now, this divine benefit. Yeah. Yeah. And those who know how to participate will enjoy it. Yeah. But as of tonight, I believe the Lord is about to speed it up. Debt cancellation and financial freedom. And increase in financial favor like never before. God just got his timing. And, you know, just so happened to be at school night, and the Lord been working on me about this. I sat down and talked to my wife about it. You know, I said, the Lord working on me about this. And she would have just yield. She would just yield or bump me a little bit to obey what the Lord is saying to do. Now that they're in it, like, now you know, we know they had a community thing. They were putting the money together and different things, but still there's some principles here that God desired for us to have no lack. And you have to understand, that was the early church, and it was in one little community. It wasn't like us in the industries and spread it, and doctors and lawyers and teachers and different people. Now we have a whole multifaceted of streams of income coming to different people in different ways. So we don't have to come together and put all the money here and divide you so much for you and so much for you, because it was a community because they had not spread out. All right, now If you notice in verse 35, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Mark that in your Bible. Because there was a time I used to have a chance to walk on this money. Notice again in the 37th verse, last part of the 37th verse, what it says, and laid it at the Now, even though they got in trouble, notice the second verse in the fifth chapter of Acts, three times, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Right? You see that? All right. Now, I don't know how many things God working on here. I know one thing. He want to speed it up because there now we're in the realm of more manifestation of everything. Yes, sir. And we're in a realm of creative miracles on everything. Yes, sir. Hold up, put it right there. Yes, we're on a realm of creative miracles of everything. We're on the realm of demonstration of everything. Yes, sir. So when we come down to these I'll give myself away right now. You want to give myself away right now? Come down to these altar seeds. See, that's where she started at. She started on the step, the altar. Started on the altar. I don't know how we got up here. People try to get money to me a different way. But, and more than one thing, Jarlee, see, that money on the altar is going to have a greater influence on the whole body. Because they sit there and they see it. And they recognize any time during the service, when you get divine inspiration, anytime, you just, and that's the way it started. It started. Now, I said, at Creflo, I think they put almost $1 million the first time they saw me. Them people put some money on that altar. Well, it wasn't really first at Creflo. It was at Kenneth Hagin Ministry at a 2 o'clock service when I first revealed this thing. And I saw hundreds of people getting up. I didn't know what they had in their hand. I thought they had the Bible. I thought they thought I could give a salvation call. I didn't know what it was. And they came up, and my first time seeing it, and they came up and loaded that altar with one of the largest offering of the history of that camp meeting at 2 o'clock. That was my first time we were speaking in public about money coming. The two came together. They came together, and you're making history now because you're going to hear this. You're going to see some things happen so fast in the body of Christ. Yeah, the money coming to Revelation came with the seed sowing revelation of spontaneously sowing, and people just get up like they're getting up to shout. Just walk up and lay the money on the altar. So what happened, the Lord reminded me, how did this start it? I said, well, Lord, there was they sowed at the altar. He said, yeah. And then he took me to this, look at the apostles' feet. And now, also, I never train on sowing. I never say nothing about it. But I'm going to say something about it in the school now. You want to always reach for the next level in your sowing. Yes, listen to the Holy Spirit. Go to your next level. Go to your next level. Now, there are some seeds are breakthrough seeds, not only for the person who's sowing it, for the people he's sowing it with. Say if a man sow over 1,000, sow 5,000, you want to put it in my hand, I'll read it out, 5,000. What'd that do? That give inspiration to people, I can do that. Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See, so I have many men sow thousands of dollars and lump sum of money all the time. And I have to train in this. It's supernatural, it's divine, it's not man-made. It has a revelation as well as a manifestation hanging heavy, heavy over the body of Christ's head. We're not going to drift out of the hand of the enemy in finances. We're not going to drift out. You can't drift out. You're not going to float out. You have to flow out with something that God have designed. Just like I'm explaining to you, I have to explain to my church on Sunday morning. I'm going to Phillip Church. I got to explain it the same way. I'm going to Miller's Church. I got to explain it the same way. I'm going to Florida. I got to explain it the same way. I got to get them back at the altar. I got to get them back able to flow and just lay that money. And I'll come down and preach. Sometimes I walk on that money. I think there's something, and this apostolic anointing is getting stronger and stronger. And I'm not, but let me just tell you the truth. This is not the reason, the only reason I'm doing it, but I'm not satisfied with the breakthrough. I know how powerful this thing is. This thing is powerful, Nolan. I know how powerful it is, and I know the rapid pace that God brought me through. I mean, just, it's like a roller coaster. I was just holding on, man. God bringing me from one dimension to another dimension, supernaturally, not even at the church, other places. People just, the things just started happening. And I'm a sower. I'll share it with your class. I never sow less than $1,000 in any meeting I'm in. I'm just telling you now. I'm at that level. I'm at a greater level than that. But I never, in my own meeting, every meeting you see, every time you see me with an envelope, you can hit your head, tap your head, and say that's $1,000 or more. My wife's the same way. This giving thing is so dynamic. And it's been so polluted and manipulated until the church been molested, raped from what God really wanted them to have. You see, when this revelation came, I didn't understand it either. I just flowed with the Lord, you know. I'm just flowing with the Lord. But when these people started bringing out, I said, my God. So I never said anything about it. But I would encourage the church, every member of Word of Life need to get in the flow and stay in it. Right. I mean, they start going to all the God, I'm going to be in some kind of way. I talked to the Lord through the week about it. I'm going, I ain't going to just set you this Sunday. I sold last Sunday. No. They're going to the altar. I'm going too. Because there are going to be so many large, you listening?
Yes, sir.
Breakthroughs that cannot be explained. And by making this adjustment, not sewing it up here, let's go back to the original plan.
Yes,
the original plan is divine order, and it'll put the flow back in divine. It'll be a divine flow. I don't know, some kind of way. You know, people just, we just started, I don't know, many years, we just started putting on the altar. I put it up here, but this is not the altar, this is the podium. And so this is the altar, so we just leave it on the altar. So now if you want so. Whatever, well, you know, it's the Lord leading. I'm not trying to tell you to sow, but I'm just telling you, some of y'all come plan to sow, just lay it on the altar. Now, think about it now, when you think that's a breakthrough seed you're sowing, beyond $1,000, $5,000, man, bring $10,000 out of him to church, I want that to be in my hand, because I want that to be in my hand so I can announce it, and let, because I started doing that. You remember when I started doing that, Phil? I started telling you how much a check was. I didn't know why I was doing that, but it's another facet of giving inspiration to the body of Christ. Hey, if she sold $5,000, my day coming, I'll be to sow $5,000. You see what I'm saying? So it's not a money game. It's a divine. You see how different that look? Now you sit there while service going on. You looking at that? See, a person get inspiration to recognize this is from God. You see, it's a really altar sowing, sowing on the altar. This is the way it started, what, back 95, 90, that's the way it started, see. And you always can sow in the hand of your man of God. I saw him sowing in the hand of the man of God. That's good sense. That came along with this also, okay. I got people I meet, they will not meet me without sowing in my hand, $1,000. And receiving benefit for it, see what I'm saying? So now, you the first one to see this apostolic one another. I had to do it with grace. I had to do it with the cross. I think I worked on something else. But this apostolic, in the aspect of this is not from me. So it can't go like I want it to go. If the flow going to increase, the order that he first set has to be in place. How many understand? I know. How many of y'all remember when this first started, how I know Ron, I remember. It was, y'all remember too, remember? It was always people coming to the altar. You remember that? Now, the way this man sold, the checks in him and his wife sold, I want them to come in my hand because I want to give inspiration. 10,000, 5,000, I'm going to give inspiration. I don't care what people think. I don't care what they think. I'm trying to get the body of Christ breakthrough, because when you hear a person sold for $5,000, you kind of think about it. You know that? You know that? You know that? And so that's why God used to, you see me all over the world. No minister in the world do what I do. I read checks. A check hit my hand, I almost know it's not a regular check. Lady the other night, lady come and say, lady come up there. I mean, just you know, just a nice lady. Came up there. Lady, a $5,000 check. She just handed it to me. You know. And so, pray and prep yourself to yield to the Holy Spirit on this. This is divine. This is supernatural. This, Jesus told me, this will not die out until he come back, because he's trying to get the church in a place where they know that he's a divine supplier. He's not only a supplier, he's the source of all supply. And as people sow by inspiration, see, by inspiration, not by telling y'all 70, I see 70 of you all bringing $40. See, and they get up and bring it. But that, it's just manipulation. This came by divine inspiration from the Holy Ghost. All right?
Yes,
class, you got it?
Yes,
all right, now you the first group I minister this way. And even, listen, I'm going to train you now. Even if you've sold once and you get inspired while the Holy Ghost moving, get up and sow again. Just do it. Just do it as the Spirit leads you, because the Spirit know what it takes to get you out of debt or get you into the place where you get in a flow that you can't be stopped. You can't get in on financial flow without sowing. You can pray, you can blow, you can exhale, inhale. You cannot get in on financial flow, not kingdom. See, this kingdom business, you understand? All right, sit down, let's go to work. I'm training you on the supernatural. How to operate and function in the supernatural power of God. We've talked about the natural and the supernatural. In the natural, you're stuck. In the supernatural, you excel. We talked about how to get into the supernatural. You get into the supernatural through three dimensions, but I want to talk about something else now. I want to tell you something that prior to those three dimensions. That was the outer court, the inner court, and the holies of holies in the Old Testament.
Yes,
only the priest went in the holies of holies, but Jesus tore that veil. Now, one of the things that activate the third step in the supernatural, which is the glory, one of the quickest way to get to the glory is thanksgiving, praise, and worship.
Yes,
thanking God for his goodness, praising him for his greatness, and then when you get to the worship part, you worship him in the spirit and truth. You worship God himself, his majesty, all right? Okay. Now, so the three dimension of the supernatural is faith, and you must learn how to live the faith life. Let me tell you something about the faith life. There's different dimension of faith. There's faith where Jesus talked in the 14th chapter of John about, if you don't believe me for the work's sake. So that's faith in his word. Okay. Then there is the soul and faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. That's faith in his word. All right. And then there's another type of a level of faith, let me call it realm of faith. When you get a sure word from God, particularly divinely for that particular situation, a live word, like hot coal in your hand, that's a rhema word. That's a John 6:63 word. That's a Hebrew 4:12 word. Okay. All words are not like that to you. You know, you can read a word, you can memorize a word, but this hot coal word is a rhema word that God has spoke over your situation that Satan cannot defy and you cannot deny. But then the highest realm of faith is tucked in a little verse in the 11th chapter of Mark, of the 22nd verse, have faith in God. Now, all of it's faith in God, but when I think when a person reach to the point where they're going to have faith in God, they're dealing with the root of everything. And then I think they're in a Romans 4:21 scenario, fully persuaded that what he had promised, he also able to perform. And then quickly, and then I'm going to get back to my groundwork, but I'm just showing you faith comes at different dimensions. When you say have faith in God, you at the man himself, or at, no, not that's exactly what they say, Kondeli, Pruskanande, Purushiki, Momenishiti. Very thing that has to be straight, the man himself. Everything got to be straight. Turn to Numbers 23:19. When you come to grips with this fact that God is not a man, that he should lie, neither the son of man, that he should repent what he said, he'll do it. What he's spoken, he'll bring it to pass. The key factor you want to recognize, stop playing with yourself, playing with the game. God is not a man. He can't lie. He can't fail. And when you get that revelation, man, your faith would leap and bound, and you're waiting. You don't wait. Faith always now. Faith is now. God operating in the now. He operating in the now, and he's still moving. Because from now over, there's another now. And if you stop, see, you can't stop. That's why I told you, keep the flow. You got to keep flowing, sowing. You can't sow in January and then get happy in November. It's a flow. You got to keep a flow going. God got to know you mean business. Hey, you can't trap God in doing that for you because he knows everything. So God, the highest type of faith, the faith life, the highest type of faith life is have faith in God. That's what Jesus told them disciples. Why? Because faith in God cut everything at the root. You don't mess with the leaf. You don't mess with the fruit. You go to the root. Okay. That's Mark 11:22, 23, and 24. I train my children on those verses. But I just want you to know when you're dealing with faith. Now, then you talk about your walk in the anointing. Your walk in the anointing. One of the main things that has to happen, my goodness, walking in the anointing, one of the main things got to happen, your heart has to be dealt with. You see, remember Jesus, Luke 4:18, the second thing he says, he dealt with the poor first. Then heal a broken hearted. Now you wonder, pastor, you're going to wonder, we got pastors, probably pastors in here, wonder why you can train a person for 14 years. Either that person marries some knucklehead, who don't know Christ, and they leave the church with them or just walk off from the church. That's been a puzzle to me for many years, but I got my answer. I'm about to give it to you. All right? They were touched, but they wasn't changed. And you can receive things touch. When you're in a flow, you can actually receive spiritual things by just being touched. But if you change, it's the heart. See, a person can't just leave a church that's ministering the word and go back into tradition. Then I have this white lady who loved my ministry, joined my church, stayed with me many years. Now watch what she said. Watch what she said. See, it's a heart issue. Watch what she said. She was touched, but she wasn't changed. Now, after about 10, 12 years, she said, I got to go back to my people. Who are your people? You mean culture is stronger than the kingdom? It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. She was touched, but she never was changed. She didn't hear what I was saying. She didn't hear what the Spirit of God was saying through me because she'd have lost her people. She's with her people, the church. I just want to go and tell you the whole thing. America, United States of America, America will never stop having walls and stop having trouble because they haven't repented. Anytime a man can have another man as a slave, something wrong in his heart. And America never said, I'm sorry. They never repented. So that's why we got still got people still prejudiced, because they're touched, but their heart not changed. Racism is a heart problem. You understand? It's a heart problem. And so America will always have problems, and the only reason she's still rolling is because of the church. Okay? So the Word of God, you don't want to just be touched. You want the Word of God to go in your heart and change some things for you. All right? All right. Now, I'm going to say some powerful things to you tonight. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit, scriptures that he bring up out of my heart, I'm going to let him bring them. But I'm going to say some more powerful things. You're going to be a powerful being when I finish with you. Some powerful things. Now listen, as we study walking in the supernatural, here's what you need to hear. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the only channel. That's why you got to be tuned in. Through which we have access to God, reveal wisdom and knowledge. The Holy Spirit is on the channel. And when you look at class, I want you to mark, and I told you I'm going to share something with you as the Lord lead. Ephesians 1:17. Go over there. Talk about the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Our eyes are on our understanding being enlightened. Let me know what is the hope of his calling. What's the inheritance of the saints? What's the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? You want to mark that in your notes. That's a prayer you should pray, because to function in the realm of the Spirit, you're going to have revelation. Notice that spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, talk about being enlightened. That's divine wisdom. That's divine understanding. That's divine knowledge. Revelation knowledge. Revelation wisdom. Revelation understanding. All three of them. Put it down. Revelation knowledge, revelation wisdom, revelatory wisdom, wisdom that is revealed, wisdom that you cannot read, wisdom that you cannot feed on normally. It's something that you've got locked into the channel of heaven, and God reveal it to you. Now, the revelation gives you access to God, access to your inheritance, access to your benefit. Access to your breakthrough. Access to your victory. Access to your solution. Access to dealing with anything you're dealing with. Is revelation is access. Revelation is bring out the omnipresent God, the omnipotent God, the omniscient God. He knows all things. He's all powerful. And revelation put you in his lap. Okay, all right. So I want you to get this. The Holy Spirit is the only channel. Get that word only. Only channel through which we have access to God, reveal wisdom and knowledge. Only channel. Say only channel. And when we talk about channel, you know, we talk about if you dial a knot, you want to catch a certain station, you got to go to a certain dial, right? Well, spiritually, it's the same way that the Holy Spirit is the spirit of revelation. He is the spirit of wisdom. He is the spirit of enlightenment. He's the spirit of understanding. Got it? Huh? The less you know, the better you are. The Holy Spirit can deal with people, because you got to be humble for the Holy Spirit to deal with you, all right? Next statement, they're going to change your life. Now, access, when you think about access, when you look at Romans 5:1-5, I'm not going to go in there. Romans 1:5 is talking about accessing and talking about standing in grace, having grace as a foundation, having grace, having favor. You build a favor foundation? Huh? The rest of the house is going to be favor. The Holy Spirit, I want you to turn to John 16 now, because we're going to read that verse. The Holy Spirit make known to men and women, are you listening?
Yes, sir.
On earth, what has been expressed by God in heaven. In other words, God say something in heaven, the Holy Spirit bring it out here and tell you.
Yeah.
Well, maybe God said this the way that should be done. Maybe God said, if she do it this way, I'm going to help her.
Right.
So, we're talking about, never heard this word before in my life, boy, but I'm just going to hit it. Divine eavesdropping. Divine eavesdropping on heaven. The Holy Spirit make it possible that you be able to be in heaven's meeting, hearing what's going on in heaven, how heaven would handle what you're dealing with. Now look at 16:13 and see what it says. So powerful. So powerful. Talk about the spirit of truth. And he's not just talking about what he's saying. He's eavesdropping. He's hearing what God's saying, and he come tell you what God says.
Right.
Now, if you back up, some of y'all might be in this place. Back up to the 12th verse. That's a whole lot of things God won't tell you, but you're not ready for it yet. And you're not going to be ready until you know how to cooperate, how to flow, how to function in the spirit. I mean, you know, these little patty cake scriptures you have mean nothing if the Holy Spirit is not working with you. Scriptures are not alive. The letter without the Spirit is dead. So we must learn. He's called a spirit of truth, must have a spirit of a lie, running similar to what he's saying. Deceiving, deception. But the Holy Spirit exposed the deceiver, because he guides you into all truth. And he show you what God has. You go to the 13, you go to 14, 15, and then he get down to say that everything God has belongs to you. But you'll never see it without the Holy Spirit. So let me make this statement again so you can get in your notes. The Holy Spirit, good God Almighty, make known to men and women on earth, what has been expressed by God in heaven. That's supernatural. I mean, if you eavesdropping on heaven expression, you're going to be able to walk in the supernatural. Because, let me tell you why. God going to tell you that thing you never would have done. Because it don't look educational enough. But it's the very thing that gonna release a ram of word.
Yeah, right.
You have taught all night professionally, took nothing, received one ram of word from heaven, and what you were trying to do, you didn't want to do that, but you was about to sink the ship with so much blessing. That's Luke chapter 5. So Luke chapter 5, 1 through 5. I told him, I'll tell you, take a description now. Because I got a lot of scripture hitting me over the years, and I haven't been using them like I should. But a ram, all you need is a ram of word. The Holy Spirit is the ram of word deliverer. The, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Spirit is the ram of word deliverer. It's a word God just has spoken out of his mouth in heaven about you. About your situation. About your direction. About your deliverance. A word that cannot be stopped.
Yes, sir.
Church don't know much about this. Church world don't know much about this. Church world don't know much about the supernatural. So they don't get manifestation. They don't get demonstration. They don't get creative miracles in the church. The church teach and don't do. And you're going to be a group that do.
All right.
Now, when you talk about the Western culture, you're talking about United States of America. Out here, you know, on this area here, everybody, let me show you what happened. But it said today that Western culture, intellectual information, has pushed aside our awareness of and reliance on divine revelation. Maybe we're going to read it three times. This is the first time, the second time. But it is sad today that Western culture, in other words, they're all that, you know. Yeah. They're going to do it themselves. They're going to go to church, but do it themselves.
Right.
Well, they go to church.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they don't want no changes.
Right.
Yeah. And they got this stopwatch set.
Yeah.
They don't want the Holy Spirit to do nothing else, not today.
Yeah.
I got to go.
Yeah.
Game at 2. Tea party at 6.
Yeah.
You know, all this little crazy stuff in it. But it's sad today that Western culture, that's us, intellectual information, have pushed aside our awareness, not only awareness, of and reliance on divine revelation. In other words, class, you're going to have to rely as a Christian leader on divine revelation.
Yeah, yeah.
All of this happened in this ministry. My ministry is by divine revelation.
Yeah.
I'm too stupid to do anything else. I'm glad I'm too stupid to do anything else. Paul called himself stupid. Moses was stupid. I can't do it myself.
Come on,
you got to lose. You got to lose your IQ.
Yeah.
If you won't see. So in the Western culture, because of our smartness, we are trained, listen to this. We are trained to reject anything that cannot be explained according to human understanding alone. That's a problem. Prophet or pastor or teacher get a revelation. If you can't explain it humanistically, you say they're missing God. This is a cult, yeah. No. It's God going beyond your understanding. The Bible said, lean not. Trust in the Lord all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Boy. Lean. And then over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, saying the peace of God which pass all understanding. Watch what it do. Shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Past all understanding. Understanding passed up. All the smart people standing in line getting their diploma. And you come understanding from God. You come old boy out of the ditch. Then got a hold of Jesus. And they standing on that line with all their degrees, all their fancy suit on. Oh boy's hair is up here. God over here. And then divine backup come. Miracles start happening. Signs and wonders. That's Simo. You don't know much about Kishilabashikite. You don't know much. A long time I went. Seymour was a black guy who started the movement of Pentecost. Wasn't real smart. Sat on a bucket till the glory came. And it had people of all cultures, all races, coming there because the fire was there. Sometimes there was so much power that it looked like the building caught a fire. But he wasn't as smart as a man, but he was a man in God's hand. Whoa! A man or a woman in God's hand is what you're looking for.
Yes,
mm-hmm. So they reject. Let me go back to that. We're trained to reject anything that cannot be explained according to human understanding. Can this be explained? This is crazy. This is asinine to the man. What? You just went up there and put the money on the step? You out your crazy mind? What are you doing? But yet you saw it in a revelation that will raise you faster than 50,000 jobs. One stroke from God, you out of debt. One favor from God, you a millionaire. Train to reject. I want train to reject. Now, denomination train people to reject that. They train them to reject the Holy Ghost. Train them to reject it. Train them to reject the Holy Ghost. Listen. You listening? The supernatural will offend you if you're not operating in faith. Because the supernatural will mess with an unrenewed mind. The supernatural will start doing some things right there you can't explain. You've got to walk with it by faith. And so denomination, you know, I'm in this area, and, you know, I've been breaking out all my life. And denomination can't handle it. They don't understand it. Pastors, they don't understand it. I still love them. We still speak. But I know how they feel. Because I once was one of them. See. Now, we all know this event. What changed humanity's original way of life was when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. I want to show you why. What happened? It's happening over and over again. They essentially rejected the revelation of God in favor of natural and mental knowledge. They essentially rejected the revelation of God in favor of natural and mental knowledge. Same thing going on today. I can't see how a person can talk to me 5 minutes and don't recognize that I'm not talking regular.
I
can't see why they can't see I just came out of a hole. And the same thing with you. I mean, if you're walking in the spirit, I can't see how naturally I can't see, but spiritually I understand. That's what I'm trying to tell you now. They essentially rejected the revelation of God in favor of natural and mental knowledge. Now, every time you trust something else or trust somebody else, you're going back to the Garden of Eden. Every time the enemy tell you you're not going to make it and you get scared, you're back in the Garden of Eden. Because you're taking facts in the place of truth. See, fact can't displace truth, but truth can displace fact. Spirit of truth, back to John 16:13. Spirit of truth, then we're talking about supernatural truth. Truth that came out of God's mouth. That's what that book is. Those men wrote by inspiration because it was divine truth. But it need to be revealed. It can't just be read. It can't just be preached. It has to be opened up. And your heart has to open up so you can see it. Listen. One of the consequences of sin was that Adam and Eve lost the ability to see into the spiritual realm. Oh, a lot of Christians lost that ability. So a whole lot of Christians never seen that ability because they've never been taught how. Walk by faith, not by sight. Why, we not look at the things that are seen, that are temporal. But we look at the things that are not seen. What are you telling me? What is 2 Corinthians 4 and 8? 18. 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. Get that. What you need to know. And 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Walk by faith, not by sight. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith, from faith to faith. 2 Corinthians 3:18, from glory to glory. Luke 4:18, from anointing to anointing. scare you up in there. You say, what happened? Won't keep you alive. So being able to see in the spirit realm, you remember that man had the army coming against him, and he had his servant, I don't know, you look it up, he had his servant, and the army was coming against him, and you know, had a great army coming against him, just him and his servant, and he told the servant, he said, now there's one man seen, the other one can't see.
He said,
they that are with us are greater than him. That servant said, 1, 2. You see 100 of horses coming to water. What if my master them lost his mind? 1, 2. No, they were seen.
Right.
I have sat with people who wasn't seen what I saw.
Yeah.
So I'm telling them, Lord, to shut up. They don't see that.
Yeah.
Be quiet, you know.
And then,
you ever talk to a deadhead in the spirit? You got a revelation you're trying to share with them? Boy, I cut off quick, man, because that's the hardest blow you. This person, you they just can't take it.
Yeah.
But the man said, no, they're great enough. And then he asked the Lord. Now, it's two occasions. Oh, my goodness. To function in the spirit realm. You heard me? What I said?
To function in the spirit realm.
I want you to write it down and put it in your spirit. To function in the spirit realm, God has to open your eyes to see what he sees. Okay? Now, in that text, the prophet told the Lord, open the servant's eye. When he opened his eyes, he was able to see. Now, we got 2 Corinthians 2:9, eyes have not seen. You see that? Ears have not heard. Then, over in Luke 24, I think it is, where they walk in the Emmaus Road, I don't know, that's Luke 24, and they're as dumb as they could be. But see, when he opened their eyes, they understood. See, every time you go to this book, you need your eyes open.
Yes, sir. Right.
Now, sometimes you're just going to be reading, and then the Lord says something. You read, but revelation is not reading.
Right.
See, you open your eyes. So we need our eyes open to function in the spirit world and to get out of the intellect, get out of natural knowledge, get out of the natural. Are you following me, Claire? Getting out of the natural. You got to get out of the natural. All right? Here's what happened. So when we reject the revelation of God in favor of the natural, let's reverse that. See, receive in favor of the supernatural. Always receive in favor of the supernatural. Don't ever tell yourself, well, God wouldn't do that. No. God would do that because he's capable of doing it. Okay. One of the consequences of sin was that Adam and Eve lost the ability to see in the spirit realm. Now, religion, denomination, theology, which is not progressive theology, have lost the same ability. See, in the spirit realm, listen to me, it's always now. Got that?
Yes, sir.
In the spirit realm, it's always now. And the spirit realm is always moving. What was now a few minutes ago is not now. You getting it? You get it? See, this will change your life. This will change your family, change your ministry, change everything. This change everything. But remember, the spirit world is always on the move. So you can't sit down and believe you got it made. You got to move with the Spirit, move with the flow. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the water.
Right.
Oh, my. Listen, Glad. The results of people disconnected from God through revelation is that they fall into thought patterns and action that are contrary to his thoughts and ways. Isaiah 55:8. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, your ways are not my way. But he didn't say you couldn't have them. Because John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way. You want to know the way? Truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's not a one-facet statement. That's access to all that God has. I am the way. But he said, I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father. He didn't say what you're coming for. Whatever you need to come to him for. See, some people think that's just the initiative of getting saved. No, that's an ongoing revelation that Jesus is the way to the Father for anything you need. Father, I come in the name of Jesus and tell him what the situation is. You got it? So when you disconnect from revelation or the supernatural, you're disconnecting from God. Somewhat, class, I have to say it because I got to teach. Some churches are almost disconnected from God.
Yes, sir.
Why? Program. thought pattern, plan, strategy. They have set up themselves, and they miss the know-it-all. So they miss the knowing vote. Based around what they know. And the revelation knowledge boat come along, man blow the horn, wait a few minutes, they don't get on because they already got their plan, thought pattern. Huh? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why the Bible said in Romans 12:2, you got to keep renewing your mind because revelation function in a renewed mind. A regular mind cannot think revelational thought. So the result of people disconnected from God is that they fall into thought patterns and action, thought pattern and action that are contrary to his thought and way. Therefore, he can't back you up. Therefore, now you void, listen to class, you void of divine backup. Even though you speak in scripture, but you disconnected. I am the vine. You the branches. If you abide in me and my words, that's connection, see. My words abide in you, ask what you will and I'll see to that you get it. You cannot stay abided in the word without abiding in revelation. John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Then I saw some stuff. Now, listen, class. Being in the spirit is easy and hard. You're going to have to build an attention span to be in the spirit. Because there's so much distraction. And so you're going to have to focus and do this on purpose. You got to plan to see what God's doing. God does not show what he's doing to unfocus and kill his people. Because they're going to kill somebody. This power is so great you had to be trained to walk in it. Oh, Jesus. I said this power is so grand you got to be trained to walk in it. Because, I mean, you could hurt somebody with this power. When we're disconnected, let me read this over to you again because I want you to get this. Because we're talking about how to walk in the supernatural power of God. The result of people's disconnection from God is that they fall into thought patterns and actions that are contrary to his thoughts and ways. Our minds become the enemy of truth because it attempts to displace divine revelation. When the Bible says we should have the mind of Christ. Yes, and here's what can happen to you if you don't watch yourself. Here's what tradition and religion will do to you. If we surrender to the natural mind, we will end up doubting the truth of God's supernatural power. Now, I'm really going to blow your mind right now. Huh? This is the revelation of God's supernatural power. The church been suffering so long, God was looking for somebody to give a word to get the church back in the flow, to live normally blessed. Yeah, we've been trying to do it with 3 and 4 jobs, everybody in the house working, the dog, the kid, all the children, the mama, daddy, they're all breaking out of the door in the morning trying to keep up when God already had a supernatural plan of sowing. And so it got so bad that God had to bring it with a shocking revelation. Money coming. Yeah. What? You hear that man over there talking about money coming? You know the guy's got to be saying, man, he over there talking about money coming. Yeah. And the money just keep on coming.
Yeah.
See, this is supernatural. Every time you walk up here, it's supernatural. I don't talk about it much. I'm going to tell you, I don't talk about it much, but God, now, apostolic, I got to talk about it. Every time you walk up here, you're supernaturally dealing with your finances. And I don't care if you record it, because I recorded it at the beginning, and I got out of hand now. But I used to record it, but I'll be writing all the time now, because the money keep on coming. But I've built a momentum in the revelation that I cannot physically be denied of anything that this world has to offer. So if, oh my, you got to listen now, because we got a lot of this going on. If we surrender to the natural mind, we end up doubting the truth of God's supernatural power. You heard that? We end up doubting what? God's true supernatural power, right? And we may eventually even attempt to use counterfeit supernatural power. Acts chapter 8. Acts 19. You know, the man had bewitched the whole town with witchcraft and sorcery. Had Christians in town, but they didn't know how to deal with it until they sent someone, a boy, to bring them to Revelation. When Philip come and start preaching. Now, I want to show you something there, because you can't change them devils just by talking. Turn to the eighth chapter. I want to show you something. You can't change them just by talking. I got a revelation, but you got to have some manifestation, man. See, that town was in such bad shape, all them people couldn't hear what he was saying. But they began to see the miracle. See, that's why I thank God started this now ministry. Now it's, what is 1,000, what now, Bob? 176? 1,176 manifestations in 2 months. A little over 2 months. They constantly called them in. My granddaughter sitting at the table. Papa. We was out at the tipping table. Big knot on her. Oh. She said, Papa. Yeah, her mama said, sure, Papa. She had a big knot sitting right up there. I said, I commanded to leave. They called her dead, gone. That was just a couple three days ago. Now, any other time, I'll be, Father, help us in the name of Jesus. You know, same with my, I told you about my little nephew. He had a stick, had a sword thing in it on the front of it. He fell. That thing went in the top of his mouth, bust a big hole. We're about to go on vacation. They called and told me about it, and I was going into my natural mode. What's his prayer? Prayer worked, but it take a while sometimes. And so I was going in my natural mode, and the Holy Spirit said, no, just say, hole be closed. I said, I don't want to see it. I never looked at it. I haven't looked at it today. I said, hold clothes. Now, they told him we're going on vacation the next day. Doctor told him, you got to eat grits, you got to eat soft stuff you can't eat. This boy will eat hot dog. We're going on vacation, man. So the next day, it's closed. That boy ate everything he wanted of it. But had I went the old route, we'd all have been miserable, because we would feel sorry for him because he couldn't eat. Well, you got, we got another route. All right, now, in Acts chapter 8, you probably read this story. I'm just going to spend a few minutes, because I got some more things I want to give you. This whole town was messed up. Is Acts 8, that's the right one? Yes. Verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria. Now, you got that same word used in Galatians chapter 3, because the Galatians had witnessed the death of Christ and the power of the cross, and the cross is the only source of the supernatural. All right? And they had witnessed it, and people preached something else. Paul said he was preaching another gospel, and they got away from faith. They went back to the law. And I think, listen to me. I think many of us are hurt because we think we're operating in faith sometimes, and we have turned faith into law. Not just believing God like we should. But anyway, in this time, when Philip got there, It says in Samaria, verse 9, and to whom they all give heed, verse 10, from the least to the greatest. Everybody's stupid without Jesus. Anybody can be taken without Jesus. And to him they had regard. See, they had regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. But when they believed Philip, preaching the thing concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed it. Also, when he baptized, he connected with Philip and wondered, beholding, at the end of verse 13, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, the average preacher would have never changed that time. He didn't went there with his outline, his high points. No. People said, we've been seeing something. Can you make something happen? See, the devil was making something happen. Now, you're going to come in and you're going to talk me out of this? You got to have, see, that's why our church is not running over. That's why this balcony is not full. I've been preaching for 40 years. You got to have evidence, man. Now to get full now. Because I had a flash vision coming here. I was way down the road and I saw cars everywhere. Couldn't even get in here. I mean, just driving from both ways, just trying to get in here, jam-packed. Because the manifestation and demonstration, you listening? Is an invitation. It's the dinner bell. Because that's, the real gospel should not be preached without results. Now, if you study Jesus' ministry, they didn't follow him just because he was Jesus. They didn't follow him just because he's a good teacher. The multitude followed him because he had evidence in his ministry. They followed him by the bread, the fish, the loaf. That's right. My goodness. Why does Sam Crew keep coming to the church? They're just faithful people. So let's talk a few minutes about moving beyond the natural dimension. Write that note down. Moving beyond. I tell you, when we finish with you, you're going to be some kind of wild. Moving beyond the natural dimension. First statement is, and the first statement is, and I'm so glad when I got free from it because I was here. We do not have to be slave to our natural intellect. We do not have to be slave to our natural intellect. We do not have to be slave to denominational rules, religious, Sadducees, Pharisee rule that's still in the world today, in the church world. God gave us something that enabled us to move beyond the natural realm. It is faith. Faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God. Hebrews 11:6, Hebrews 11:1. See? What is faith? Whew. Ooh, I'll not tell you this tonight. Wait till next time. Faith is the probe, P-R-O-B-E. By what human beings have access to and can see into the spiritual realm. Faith is the probe by what human beings have access to and can see into the spiritual realm. Once you believe it, you can see it. Here we go. We can move beyond the natural realm by exercising our faith in God through which we enter into the spirit realm. See, faith always brings you in the realm of the spirit. I say faith brings you in the realm of the spirit. By receiving revelation or revealed knowledge from God through the Holy Spirit. See, by faith, First way is by faith, right? I said, huh? And I said, well, let me see what I said. By exercising our faith in God, through which we enter into the spiritual realm. Got that? Number way to, that's one way to switch from the natural man. Secondly, by receiving revelation or reveal knowledge from God through the Holy Spirit. That'll bring you into the supernatural. By applying our faith once more in respond to the revelation, activating God's supernatural power on our behalf or on the behalf of others. By applying, that's the third thing I'm saying now. If you got one thing, you ain't in my class. You missed this thing. You done missed the whole doggone boat. Now let me go over these things again, because I ain't got the time to be playing with y'all. Listen, y'all gonna go in the realm of supernatural. I ain't got the time for you staying in the natural, instead of y'all trying to get a grade. I ain't thinking about no grade. I want you to know something. I want you to be able to walk in the spirit, be able to function supernaturally. So you listen to me now. We're talking about what faith is, and it was saying that we can move beyond the natural realm. I'm giving you some points to move. How, Apostle? How do I move beyond the natural realm? Number one, by exercising our faith in God. Have faith in God. Curse the doggone tree. They're going to die. Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, and you back up, you see. We enter into it by receiving, number two, by receiving revelation or revealed knowledge from God through the Holy Spirit. From God through the Holy Spirit. From God through the Holy Spirit. My goodness. From God through the Holy Spirit. Third thing, by applying our faith once more in respond to revelation. Yeah, I mean, you're not gonna be able to operate or function in revelation without faith, because your intellect can't go there. Your thought life, your academics cannot move in the realm of revelation from God. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Revelation is born of the Spirit. All right. By applying our faith once more in respond to the revelation, then after you do that, activating, not waiting on God, activating God's supernatural power on our behalf, on behalf of others. That's what ministry is all about. Now, class, I'm going to make this statement. I want you to research your life. I'm trying to get this thing on the bridge here so we can cross it over. I want you to research your life now. The supernatural realm is the realm where miracles occur. If miracles are not occurring, you are not in the supernatural. You are at a church building. Or you are at a meeting somewhere. Been there. Common senses, logic, and reason cannot produce miracles. These are manifestations of God's power in the natural realm. Are you getting it? Now you go over these notes and you pray over these notes, and you're gonna find yourself doing supernatural things. See, common sense, watch this, common sense, logic, and reason cannot produce miracles. These are manifestations of God's power in the natural realm. They cannot make a person who is blind see, or someone who is deaf hear. But Jesus produced his credentials to John. John once said, the Lamb of God, he got in a little trouble. Now he questioned, are you the one to be looking for the other? Jesus sent him a message, tell him, blind see, yeah. Lamb walk. Yeah. Didn't tell him, this is my evidence. The credentials of a real minister is manifestation. Not no just good preaching. He's a good preacher. What the? What the? He's a good, just a good preacher. No. Oh, my preacher, good preacher. I said, okay. I said, we're at our church. Rolling. I said, okay. I said, can I ask you a question? Yeah, when the last time you saw anybody get out of a wheelchair at your church, healed, a blind person? He said, oh, no, we don't. He just disqualified for being a church. It's a social gathering. Got to have evidence. Yeah, I don't care if you call your reverend, doctor, apostle, prophet, Jesus. You got to have evidence. Jesus know that. Now here's another problem. When people deal in their mind, I'm just using this altar for a reason here now, because this is a supernatural act every time it happens. It is time to move on past skepticism and fear of the supernatural. Because when something supernatural happens, you really can become real skeptical if you let your mind. Yeah, your mind can't go there. Yeah, I got to close that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, Paul had learned that human wisdom and philosophy are incapable of producing the supernatural power required to preach the gospel effectively and to manifest healing, signs, and wonders from God. Turn there, because this is one of my love. This is my favorite. One of my favorites here. Paul said, I didn't come to you with excellence of speech in the wisdom of men, but in the demonstration of the spirit and the power. I'm determined not to know, second verse, I'm determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Then he's talking about the enticing word. But, you know, this eloquent, he's beautiful. Long words, I mean, just make, I was preaching with some guy one time. Hey, some guy can talk, man. I called my wife, I'm coming home. These guy got outline, these guy got scriptures, man. These guy laying the point out, telling stories. I can't do all that. Them guys were smoking me for 3 days. They were smoking me, boy. I was in there. I said, man, these guys. I said, boy, these guys. Scripture, man. I ain't got all these scriptures. I can't do all this. And God, tongue clear and precise. But the fourth day, the Holy Ghost broke out. I got out there and fumbled my way in the presence of God. And pow, God hit that church. My wife made me stay there. My wife said, no. She knew what was going to happen. You know? So I ain't had no outline there. I couldn't have all them points, you know. I'm God has some outline, boy. I'm telling you, I said, man, I get in the bed and I said, man, I'm God, got some outline, you know, got some stuff they're saying to people. And then call me up here, man, I can't do all, I ain't got all this. But the story changed the fourth day. Then I knew why I was there. And then those very self-same God indirectly started asking me questions. Indirectly. Then one night it got so strong, the oldest one of the whole group came up to me and said, I know who you are. And I was the man to walk in the same van that he walked in, but at a different dimension. And he recognized it. He's still living today. Paul had learned that human wisdom and philosophy are incapable, of producing the supernatural power required to preach the gospel effectively and to manifest, preach and manifest. Now you see what he said in that fifth, sixth verse? 1 Corinthians 2? What did he say? Back up to the next verse then. What did we say? My preaching, what voice that is? Four. Read verse 4, Craft. Everybody. Keep on reading. Why? What and what? Hallelujah! That's what I said, bro. The power of God. That's what a miracle, signs and wonders. That's what evidence. These signs shall follow them that believe. I confirm my word with signs following. I mean, all these years I've been preaching, I've done something with God. Dog, man. God made a believer out of me, boy. Listen to this. We do not need to search for revelation from the world when God has made known the hidden mystery of the ages. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's Colossians 1:25-27. The human mind is not able to know everything that is in man, let alone everything about God. You don't even know yourself. You got a lot of things functioning in your body. You don't know how it works. Shoot, you ain't no heart surgeon. All them cells you got running around your body, you know them all. Tell me what they're doing right now. You're setting up your living. You ought to know what they're doing. You, well, we know. God knows. He put every part in there. The only one who can reveal God is the Spirit of God, who is the administrator of the truth and power of Jesus Christ on earth. Whoa, you better write it down. The Holy Spirit is the administrator of the truth and power of Jesus Christ on earth. Some ministers think they're the administrator. You hear them talk. No. We walk in there, we all ministers. They look down on us like we little boys just get through picking puck on. Because there's some big doo-doo. I walk in place, man, 20,000 people. The man said, you preach. I said, oh, Lord. But the Lord helped me. Every time. So I'm not preaching secondhand information. I know what the Holy Spirit can do because I know my capability. Even to teach you as a class. I don't care what you think. It don't make me no difference. Roll your eyes, go back in your head. Don't make me no different. I ain't squat duty about you because I'm on assignment. You either receive it, believe it, or be deceived because I'm telling the truth. Now, see if you can identify with it. I got to close. See if you can identify with this. And this is happening to the church because we're not producing the right result. Today, many Christians are turning to philosophy, psychology, psychiatry, the natural realm to try to solve a problem. How can I say this, Lord? I don't want to expose these people. But I dealt with a little girl the other day. She was having a problem. She was scared of dying. Got a new car. Won't even drive. She's scared to drive. I went and ministered to her. I don't usually go nowhere, boy, after I eat on Sunday. And I just had her to worship God. And I made sure that there wasn't no spirit, then all of a sudden, they've been in a supposed to be Holy Ghost church for 8 years, and neither one of them, the mama neither the girl, filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were in spiritual battle that took more than just a regular prayer. So I got them filled with the Holy Ghost, and the little girl didn't want to go nowhere, she didn't want to eat nothing, she was just afraid, didn't want to drive her car. When I left, they texted me and said, they were going to Chile. Probably she's got courage. Got delivered that quick. I mean, a matter about a half hour. I mean, they couldn't get her to go out the house nowhere. Pretty little girl. Now, this verse is a verse that I love. 1 Corinthians 4:20. Look at it. 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not word only. John 1:12 said, but as many as we receive him, John 1:12, to them give you the power to be, but there's another power, Acts 1:8 power, that you can connect it with the power, John 1:12, and do a better job in the spirit realm. So, you the generation, look at me, you the generation that's going to break up people from going to So the little girl had went to a psychologist. It's one of the first things I told her, don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back. I know your mind has to be dealt with, but let the word deal with your mind. Renew your mind. Because the psychiatrist, next point. Next. And if you wasn't crazy, by the time they finish, you're going to be crazy as a Bessie bug in a hailstorm with no head on. But they're going to tell you all kind of stuff, see? So people, and they're going, we messed up so bad that they're going to worldly counseling. Got people got counseling sessions just set up. Nothing about Christians, just counselors. And it's because, class, of what we are producing right here now in this school, the ability to show forth. Wake up! The ability of God. You sit here and go to sleep, I can't learn you nothing. This ain't no sleeping class. I'll catch you sleeping in this class again, I'm going to make you stand up, the whole class. You better drink some water and slap yourself. I get disturbed. I'm teaching this stuff. This hot stuff. I get sleep. I don't got sleep in the meeting, but I'll stand up. I'll go to the bathroom and come back. I ain't sleeping. I'm gonna hear this thing, partner. So you just ain't no regular school. You don't come here and just mess around to get through to get the grade to have a little degree or something. No. You're going to know something before you leave here. You're going to fail. So let's turn the tides now. As I teach you the supernatural, and as these other sons preach you and minister to you apostolically, by the time you finish this school, you should know how to walk in the Spirit and how to tap into the supernatural and how to make a difference. If God call you, God sets you in a position of assignment. Watch me now. If God sets you in a position of assignment, you can make the proper alignment. You'll know what to do. Okay? My point to you is just don't leave too early. A lot of times, when you see this type of ministry, you see, you watch my ministry and watch me ministering, about 2 months, you say, oh, man, I can do that. You know, you quote them scriptures, you know, you say, oh! All right. I can take you someplace tonight. They thought they can do it too, but they're still squeezing and squalling because they didn't have it. And then they had to wait. And God, I waited. God raised me up. I waited. I was an elder pastor, uneducated man, but loved God. And I was with him. I wasn't going nowhere. I wasn't even thinking about leaving. You're going nowhere. And then God brought this church to me. Then I went to talk to him. And he said, son, go ahead. I ain't never asked nobody to preach. I was preaching three. Could have preached four times every Sunday. When I was in the Baptist circle. An elder minister told me, how many times you preach today? I said, well, this is my third time. I got to go to North Louisiana now. He said, son, people will kill you and get a young man to preach. I was young that time. Get a young man to preach, you better slow down, you better check yourself out. I took note of that. So I started backing off. That was going on. I even done this in this area. I don't go anywhere. They called me, these guys are all excited. Man, come on, man. And Leroy and I, we pray about it. They don't want a revelation. They want a manipulation. And then I get caught up getting manipulated in the thing, too, because they don't give me nothing. They grab, go in the back. Everybody getting manipulated. The people, me. Give me a $5,000 and receive $105,000. Give me the $5,000 and tell me. But I went to church one time, and the guy caught me going back to my seat. Now, I don't raise often. That's why you don't see me on them TV stations, TBN and all of that. Yeah, I ain't got nothing to do with that. I ain't got revelation. God told me don't use money coming for that. This guy caught me going to my seat. I preached. Glory to God. It fell. Big church. He said, receive the offering, Doc. And he just I'm kind of, when I get anointed, I'm not all there. And so I turned and I said, well, it's just going to be a large offering. And so they picked the offering up, and then the guy gave me $10,000, $15,000. And that girl told me it was over $250,000 they raised. People give. And the people were giving because I was there. Right. Give me a tip. Yeah. I waited the table, give me a tip. And they had all the food. I ain't got nothing. give me enough to eat. There is a thing called full-time ministry, and there is a supplier that God can put you in a place where you can work full-time for him. Here's another witness. I'm a witness of that. But you've got to trust him, and you've got to know when, and you better not go till he tell you to go, or you're going to be a hustler the rest of your life. I know a lot of ministers who are hustlers. They are huffing and hustling, trying to survive. A little word is on, I can't get no satisfaction. There ain't no satisfaction if you haven't followed the plan of God. All right, class, study that thoroughly. We may talk about it sometime in open discussion. So I got you got your composition, and maybe sometime for a few minutes we'll discuss the things that I'll probably talk about, all right? All right, be blessed.